about change. I feel like the Lord has given me a word for us, for myself, and for all of us today. And I want to take a moment. Let's just pray and settle our hearts, because I think the Holy Spirit is going to speak in various ways to all of us today. Father, I thank you. Holy Spirit, you've been here in this house. We've sensed your presence, and we know you. We know your voice. And so, Holy Spirit, as we speak your word today, Father, I'm asking that it would be more than just words, but that the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us would resonate and would speak to us exactly what we need to hear, exactly how we need to hear it. I thank you, Father, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us today. Amen. Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit is here. And when we deal with change, it stirs up, I don't know about you, but inside of me, when change happens, it stirs things up inside of me. It stirs questions, sometimes anxiety, sometimes fear, and sometimes even sorrow and grief when change takes place, because the things that we anticipated that don't happen, or missed expectations, things that we planned for that don't happen, or things that happen that we didn't anticipate. All of those things stirs up questions inside of us, can also stir up even grief and even sorrow. And in fact, our Dr. Dane is going to be speaking about that next week, about how sorrow and grief and change, how God wants us to work through that. But it also can stir up inside of us, it can stir up vision and hope and even anticipation. I don't know about you, but inside of me, when things change, I don't particularly like it inside of me. I don't like what I feel at times, or the great unknown. But if I let it, it can also stir up even old dreams, old things, old visions, or new things that I never even anticipated before. It can stir those things inside of my heart and my spirit. But change also can shake things up. In fact, change normally shakes things up. In other words, when things are just in a place where they're kind of locked in, and perhaps they're not even in good places or right places, but they're locked in, and sometimes when you shake things up, it allows things to move around. It allows things to be repositioned in ways. And I know in my own life, there have been times when I've just gotten stuck into patterns of behavior, patterns of belief, patterns of faith that is just sort of settled, and it's not a bad place. But it's something that God begins to work inside me. He begins to shake things up because he wants me to be in a better place. He wants me to understand him in new ways and in better ways. And sometimes change will do that. It stirs us up and it can shake us up. Change also wakes us up. It can wake us up to new vision and to goals, things that were dead and that we were kind of stagnant. Change can come along and it can wake up stuff inside of us, and it gives opportunity for there to be blessings that flow inside of our heart and lives. All those things, change can stir up, shake up, and wake up. But the reality is, no matter who you are, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, you're probably going under some sort of change. Change is natural to us. Change is what will always take place inside of our lives. In fact, if you're not changing, you might just not be really alive. Because everyone changes. There's change happening to all of us, whether it be in our families, our workplace, individually, or in this case, and even in a church, things change. One thing we know as children of God is that God never changes. Can you say hallelujah? He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But in the process of change, I believe the Holy Spirit can remind us that there are certain things that start to be stirred up inside of us, and there's certain things that we feel like and we want to do, and there's the right things that we do, and then there's the wrong things that we could do. God wants us to do the right thing. He doesn't want us to do the things that are not going to be part of his plan and his design for us in the midst of change. And you see, I can focus on the things that are bringing anxiety or stress or uncertainty inside of my life. I can choose to focus on that, or I can renew my mind and focus on the promises of God. Focus on those things that God is showing me in the midst of change, the good things about change. And in the midst of change, it causes us to focus on those things that are the most important things in our life. Those things that never, ever should change. You know, Jesus had a very interesting ministry. In fact, he came on earth and Jesus came and he shook up everything. He did. I mean, his birth shook people up. And how he was born, how he ministered shook people up, how he came against the religious traditions and the expectations of his people. It shook things up. How he healed shook people up. How he walked and ministered on this earth shook up those around him. And it's really interesting in the book of John, the chapters, I think it's 12 through 17, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he's telling them a bunch of things. He's preparing them for more change. Now, can you imagine this? I want you to place yourself in the position of Jesus' disciples. They left everything. They followed Jesus. Jesus stirred everything up. He was changing everything. They were witnessing him doing things they didn't expect. They were witnessing things that they never thought they would ever see. They were asked to do things that they never thought they would be asked to do. And they were following, and their focus was upon Jesus, and he was teaching them. And in these chapters, Jesus is speaking to them as a loving father to them, preparing them for another change. In fact, he's speaking to them and he's using parables and he's using metaphors of trying to get them to understand that things are really going to change. He was talking about the grain that unless it dies and falls to the ground, it never produces fruit. He was talking about the vine and being in the vine and that he was the vine and that fruit would come from that. He was talking to them about hard times that were going to come along life for them as disciples. But then he hits them with something really hard. He says, oh, and by the way, I'm not going to be here. Can you imagine what it would have been like? Like, Jesus, wait a minute. All this stuff is happening. We've been looking at you and we've been following you. And yeah, it's been difficult. And yes, these hard times are coming. And you're going to leave us? Wow, what must have been in the minds and the hearts and that anxiety that would flow from Jesus' disciples? And in John chapter 16, and beginning with verse 5, Jesus says it very plainly to them. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict or bring to light or expose the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you don't see me anymore. Of judgment, because of the ruler of this world is judged. So here Jesus was saying pretty plain to them, I'm going away. I'm leaving you. And he was very aware. He says, and because I'm saying this to you, I know sorrow is filling your heart. So he had a great understanding the fact that sorrow often is a natural byproduct of change. But Jesus said other things. He said in that passage that change will bring advantage. He said, when I go away, you're going to be sad, but it's really a good thing. It's for your advantage. It's good for this change to take place because the power of the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit, will come. In the past, you just looked at me and I became your focus and I was the one that you looked to all the answers. But now if I go away, it's going to be good because the power of the kingdom of God is no longer going to be just me. It's going to be inside of you. That was the advantage and that was the promise of God. Why? So the kingdom of God would be expanded through the work of the disciples. You see, change always forces us to remove our dependence on someone or something or some institution. And if we let it, it will cause us to become more dependent upon Him. That's the advantage of change. That we become more dependent upon Him and His Holy Spirit. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to expose the things you don't do, but also the things that you do. You see, what don't we do in the midst of change? Because change stirs up and it shakes up. And sometimes when things are stirred up and shaken up, sometimes things that we don't particularly like can come to the surface. Inside of us. So what is the Holy Spirit to shed light upon us? Is in the midst of change, we don't sin. We don't walk in unrighteousness. But what do? In the midst of change, we do righteousness. We do what is right. We do whatever is right. Kingdom righteousness, the integrity, virtue, purity of life, correctness in our thinking and in our acting. And it's a personal decision that we make. I choose to walk in righteousness in the midst of change. As kingdom people, that's the choice that we have. We choose to walk in righteousness. You see, I cannot help when things come my way. When change comes my way, I have the opportunity to respond to that change. You see, no one can make me be righteous, and no one can cause me to walk unrighteously. I have that choice. And regardless of what comes my way, I am responsible, not because I can control the things that come my way, because often I cannot control the change that is forced upon me. Often I cannot control other people's reactions to me or around me when change is taking place. I have no ability to do that in many, many cases. But how I respond to those things, how I respond to change, is my choice. And as righteous followers of Jesus Christ, God calls us to walk in righteousness. We have changes that are happening here in the church, but you probably have lots more changes that are happening in your own life. And we have an opportunity to respond in righteousness, even though we're imperfect, even though there's times when the flesh rises up within us and we feel like we are justified by acting a certain way or feeling a certain way or responding in a certain way because of everything around us. It is still our choice to walk in righteousness. But I would say that it's not just our own righteousness, because that only takes us so far. But it really is a supernatural righteousness. It is something that comes because of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. It is supernatural. It is above what would come natural to anyone because of the situations or the circumstances. It is a supernatural righteousness. And this stirring and this shaking can propel us to this supernatural righteousness if we allow it to do it. You see, we must recognize, and yeah, we deal with the stuff and the things inside of us and the imperfections of our lives and the imperfections and the challenges that come with change. We have to deal with that. But God has called us and even called us as a church to walk in righteousness and walk as people with the kingdom of God. And when change is thrust upon us, we have to take a look at saying, okay, what don't I do? Well, I'm not supposed to sin. What do I do? I am supposed to walk in righteousness. What has God called us to do? What is the righteous behavior that God has called us as a church to follow? And I look at the things that will never change in this house, because they are the DNA of this house. They are part and parcel with why we exist. And I actually call them the three W's. Number one is worship. We're called to be a people who have a heart for worship, who have a heart to worship the Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are worshipers. We should never forget when we are part of a people who are bent upon worshiping God. We gather together. Our corporate expression of praise and worship is so vital to who we are as a people. And that never changes in this house. The second W is word. We are people of the word. We believe in the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We look at the word and we say it's important that we know the word, that we study the word, that we learn the word. This is why we continue to have Bible studies and other types of things to bring the word into our heart. This is why we keep educating and training up our children. This is why we still do Impact and Royal Rangers. This is why, because the word is so important. Important in our hearts and in part of who we are as a church. Worship and word. I love this third W, wonder. You see, the word alone and the knowledge alone without the power of the Holy Spirit is just word. But we have the wonder of his power in our midst. We are a people that believe in the miraculous power of God in our midst. This is why we continue to have altar ministry. Why? Because we believe God can heal. This is why we continue to pray for the lost, because God can save and God can deliver. It's why we continue to do HSSM, because we believe in the signs and wonders that God wants, not only in this house, but in our workplace and out in the street. This is the wonder that God has placed inside of us, that we are expectant of his Spirit to literally come and to dwell with his people. Worship, word, wonder. But I think the final wonder that is so important that we have to remember, and is who we are as a people, is that we are a people of love. Say, love? How's that a wonder? Sometimes in the midst of change, it's hard to love. And it's really interesting when you read in John, I think it's the 15th chapter, where he's laid out to his disciples all the issues that they're going to have to deal with, and all the heartache and the pain and the suffering. And he's telling them he's going away, and there's this sorrow that's gripping them. And he gives them, and I think it's the 15th chapter, he gives them a commandment. And that commandment was, love one another. Love one another. Laying down your life. Jesus says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And we bear much fruit. And he goes on and he says, this is what you're supposed to do. And then he ends it again. He says, but I tell you, love one another. Just like righteousness, I cannot do it on my own. There's only so much love that I have with inside of me. There's only so much love. And God is calling us to a supernatural love. And in the midst of change, and I don't know about your own lives and where you are at in change and processing, whether it's relationships or families, whatever it may be. But God wants to fill you with so much love, even in the midst of unlovable situations. And it's a supernatural love. It cannot come just because you want to love. It's the love that comes from the kingdom of God. It's a love that comes from a great understanding, and you're filled with the love because you know how much Christ loved you. Even in your messes, even in your failures, even in the times of defeat, the love of God was poured out upon you. It's that supernatural kind of love that allows us to love other people in their messes, to love those around us that are imperfect and are not acting the way that we would want them to act. That is the supernatural kind of love that is the wonder that we are to experience as people of God, as a church. That is what God has called us to be, to have just a supernatural amount of mercy and grace. You see, I need to be a person that gives mercy and grace supernaturally to those around me. And there's a really selfish reason for that. It's because I need mercy and grace from you. That is the call of God. That is what it means to walk as kingdom people in righteousness. And so what do we do when things change? We do righteous. We do what is righteous in our lives. I love the things that God has called us to be as a church. When I read them, I know it's the DNA, it's the part of things that will never change in this house. We are to be a people of open arms. We are to welcome those who don't look like us. We are to welcome those who have problems and messes and don't really fit in perhaps somewhere else, but they can fit in here. Why? Because we open up our arms to them. That's who we are as a people. That's who you have been in the past. That never changes. But we're also a people that understand what it means to have healed hearts, to have sin forgiven, to have bondages broken, to have strongholds released from us so that we can walk in freedom. That's who we are as a body. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's what we proclaim, and that never changes in this house. We are people of healed hearts, and our heart and our desire is to see others come and have their heart healed as well. Why? So that our lives will be radically transformed. See, it's not just that we understand these things. It's because we live out these things, and it literally makes a difference in our lives. We are a people whose DNA is to expect the unexpected, to look at people and see them in their messes and say, God can radically transform your life. That's who we are, and that will never change in our life. That's what we proclaim. And I look upon who we are as a house, and I wasn't here from the beginning of this ministry. But as I understand history, there has been multiple times when the enemy has tried to destroy, tried to shake up, to negative things, tried to do many, many things to stop this house from being what it was supposed to be. And it's a great clue that there is a destiny and a purpose of God that is still upon this house. There are still unknown blessings. There are unknown ministries. There is a destiny that is even yet to be fulfilled in this house. And you are part of that, and I am part of that. And what God does in the midst of change is that He shakes us all up. He shakes us all up, and even though it's uncomfortable, and even though we don't know what's happening sometimes around us, He's doing that so He can move us into the right place that we are supposed to be for His glory and for His purpose. All I know in my own life is in the midst of change in my own life, I am not to sin, even when I feel like it, and I am to do righteousness. That is God's call to us as a people. Can I have you bow your heads? Father, we realize that change is so natural in all of our lives. And often change comes with a really heavy cost. It brings about fear, and it brings about uncertainty, and it brings about anxiety, and sometimes it stirs up within us even ugly. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would speak to our hearts and our lives. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would show my brothers and sisters the areas of change in their life that they're having to walk through. Personally, with their families and relationships. And Father, the change that perhaps is painful, or at best just bringing about uncertainty. Holy Spirit, you live inside of us. To shed light on our unrighteousness. Not because you want to condemn us and push away from us, but because you want us to be free. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask you to reveal to us as your children the areas of change where we have walked unrighteously. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to very specifically reveal maybe the things we've said, the things we've tried to manipulate or do. Maybe it was pervasive thoughts that were not righteous. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would help us now take those things before you and to ask you to forgive us. Say, God, forgive me for my unrighteous behavior in the midst of change. Forgive me for those times when my flesh was just so stirred up, and even though I didn't want to, I ended up going there. Forgive me. Forgive me for responding in situations that felt so out of control and I felt attacked, or I felt like no one understood me. And I've responded out of that pain and out of that hurt. Forgive me. Father, I'm thankful that you do not look upon one area of our life or one situation or circumstance and judge our whole life by that. But Father, that you are quickly there to forgive us and to set us free. So Father, I thank you that as we have confessed our unrighteous behavior before you, that you are faithful and you have forgiven us, and that we no longer walk in condemnation or in guilt, but you have set us free. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for that forgiveness, but now comes the supernatural part. of walking in righteousness. And so if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about a very specific area, maybe there's multiple areas, but a very specific area where you need his supernatural strength to walk in righteousness, I'd like for you just to stand. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that we can be very honest before you. And we can admit that there's only so much of us that can walk righteously in this situation or this circumstance. Holy Spirit, we need you to come and to fill us with kingdom righteousness that is supernatural, that goes way beyond our ability. So come, Holy Spirit, even now. Fill us with your righteousness. Fill us with your love, even to those people and circumstances and situations that are really, really difficult. Father, give us that supernatural love. Grace and mercy that we can give to others because you have given us so much grace and mercy. And it's only by your Spirit, only by your power that we can walk in that kind of love and that kind of grace and that kind of mercy and that kind of righteousness. It is a wonder. Thank you, Father. And could everyone stand, please? Father, I thank you that as a church, you love us enough not to keep us stagnant and in the same thing all the time. But Father, you challenge us with change. You stir up and you shake up. Thank you, Father, that you trust us enough that with your Holy Spirit, we will get it right. And so, Father, I pray as a house that we will walk in amazing love, in amazing righteousness, in amazing mercy and grace to one another and to those who walk in the doors of this house. That, Father, what you're doing, no man can orchestrate. But you are doing a great thing. Help us, Lord, as a people, to walk in righteousness in all of our ways. Father, we declare it by your name. Amen. Amen.